You may be seated if you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, my subject tonight, man and miracles. Man and miracles. Prayer has so many dimensions and so many facets that it would be impossible for me to exhaust the world of prayer. I believe in prayer, and I believe in miracles. The Word of God produces faith, and faith always produces miracles. See, we live in a world that denies the miracle-working power of God, but God is a God of miracles. Some people say, well, the days of miracles are over. Well, there's never been a day of miracles. There is a God of miracles. And you don't need the denominational Jesus. I like to say this because so many people have got a denominational Jesus. Other people have a religious Jesus. And the religious Jesus, Jesus had a hard time with that religious crowd. You know, the Pharisees, they prayed, they fasted, they gave, they read the scriptures, and they died, and they went to hell. So what we need is the Jesus of the Bible. And that's the Jesus we preach here at Westmoreland. We need him. We need the miracle-working power of God. When Jesus finds faith, guess what happens? Miracles happen. Signs and wonders, they take place. Now, Peter and John, they heal a lame man in the name of Jesus at the gate called Beautiful. And it upset the religious rulers. And they arrested them, but then they let them go. For no one could deny that a notable miracle had been done in the name of Jesus. They let them go, and Peter and John, they went to church. They went to a prayer meeting. And I want you to notice how they prayed. We're reading from Acts 4 and 29. They said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Verse 30, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Now look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake the word of God with boldness." Now I want you to notice the order. They prayed, and then they preached. And because they prayed before they preached with boldness, and they preached with great power. Before you do anything in the name of Jesus, spend some time alone in prayer. Sharpen the edge of your sword. It's a sharp, two-edged sword, but you've got to sharpen it, and you've got to spend time alone, and you've got to stir up the giftings that God has placed in you. And then when you go out, you don't go alone, because you can preach and sing with boldness, and God will show up in the midst of his people, and God will do the work. Jesus is a miracle worker. I want to talk to you about man and miracles. Let us pray. Father, I love you. I praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the anointed singing. Thank you that how we've already been seated together tonight in heavenly places. Now, Lord, you've blessed us, but Lord, I'm coming to preach your everlasting gospel. And Lord, I've prayed and I have believed. And Lord, I'm releasing my faith, and others are releasing their faith to receive the miracle flow of God in this house. Lord, those that are watching by live stream and Facebook Live, we pray, Lord, that the gospel will go forth with great power, that you'll speak through these lips of clay. Anoint me, O God. Let me preach your word with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Give us a listening ear, and everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, let me lay some foundation, some scriptural foundation before I start preaching. See, God's word is a living word. Look at John 1 and 1. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." Now, look at verse 14. John said, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten one, full of grace and of truth." Jesus is the living word, and he is chosen to identify himself with the Bible, the word of God. He is the bread. He is the word. He is the living bread. He is the living word. And the word is a living word. It is a powerful, penetrating word. Look at Hebrews 4 and 12. Writer of Hebrews, Paul, he said, "For the word of God is quick." That means living. Living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. One thing I love about God is you can't con God. God knows my thoughts. God knows my rising up. He knows my lying down. God knows everything about me, and he knows my faith. And he knows if I am reaching out for him. He knows if you're seeking him. He knows that if you're searching for him with all of your heart, and when he finds a vessel like that, he said, I'll not withhold any good thing from that person. So I encourage you to get into the word, listen to the word, because God's word is a living word, it is a powerful word, and God's word never, never, never returns unto him void. Jesus is the word. Now, Jesus, the man of prayer, Jesus, the man of faith, he is Jesus, the word. That's what I wanted you to see. He preached the word. And when Jesus, the word, preached the word, signs and wonders and miracles, they followed him. And I want to talk to you about man and miracles simply because God has a miracle for you. How many need a miracle? I love miracles. I love the manifestations of God's power and God's glory. And if I didn't need one for myself, I want one so you can have it. Hallelujah. That's just something inside of me that reaches out to the supernatural power of God. So as a matter of fact, Jesus has a miracle for you, and you can get a miracle with just four words from God. Just four words will do it. Jesus is in the temple. There was a man there with a withered hand. The Pharisees asked if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, and they did that so they might accuse the Lord. And Jesus said, if your sheep fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you lift it out? And Jesus said, how much better is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to look at what Jesus said to this man. Look at Matthew 12:13. Then said he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. He required some action. Jesus, the man of faith, he required some action. He said, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. I'm 71 years of age. I don't know how old you are, but if you have a problem with any area of your life, when the Lord makes that arm whole, I've seen withered hands. Actually, boom, the power of God hit them, and they were healed instantly. I've seen arms that wouldn't function. When the power of God hit them, they were healed instantly. But they had to put their faith into action, and the word of faith has to be preached, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost has to be there. And when God gets the mix right, and you get your faith right, and I get my preaching right, and we all get our hearts right, the miracle worker shows up, and he shows off, and he does signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Go and praise God. Amen. You can get a miracle with just four words from God. Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand, and immediately his hand was made whole. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus did not pray the prayer petition and say, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will heal this man. Jesus gave the command of faith. He said, stretch forth thy hand, and immediately he was made whole. So many times in our church we pray and we say, Heavenly Father, will you do this? And Father, will you do that? And it's always in order to ask. Jesus said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. So petitioning the Father is always in order. But you do that in your private prayer chamber. You do that alone with God. But when you come to the house of God, or when you have a brother or sister pray for you, if they're prayed up, they need to give the command of faith. Be healed. Be made whole in Jesus' name. And what they're doing is releasing the power of God. That's what happened in the text. They arrested them because that man was made whole when they spoke to him in the name of Jesus. And if Peter can do it, if John can do it, if Paul can do it, if those early disciples can do it, I got enough faith to believe I can do it and you can do it. Go on, praise God. We got the same Holy Ghost. We got the same name of Jesus. We got the same blood. We got the same Bible. We got the same word. Amen. So we just need to turn God loose and let the Jesus of the Bible show up in our midst. Amen. Jesus spent time in prayer alone with God before he performed his miracles. And Jesus gave the command of faith, stretch forth thy hand, and the man simply obeyed. Now, in the natural, the man could not do it. It was an impossibility. But he acted on the word of God, and it brought forth a supernatural miracle. He put himself in agreement with the word of God, and then he released his faith. And that's what you and I must do. By faith, he moved his arm all that he could. And suddenly, the power of God flowed into that arm. He stretched it out, and it was made whole just like the other. He doesn't make your arm look like a freak's arm. He's not going to restore this one, you know, with bulging biceps and this other one looking another way. And if you're at a certain age, he will restore you according to the age that you're at. So everything is made whole, and God wants you to receive your miracle. See, God expects us to act on his word. And when we do and release our faith, miracles happen. And you can get a miracle with just four words from God. But not only can you get a miracle with just four words from God, you can get a miracle with three words from God. Lazarus was dead, so he went to Bethany. Jesus went there. And when Martha found out he was coming, she went out to meet him. And she said, "Lord, if you had been here yesterday, my brother would not have died." She said, "But Lord, I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of the Father, he will give it you." And Jesus said, "Martha, your brother shall live again." And Martha said, "I know he shall live again, Lord, in the last days, in the days of the resurrection." Look at John 11:25. Notice what Jesus said. He said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." See, Martha's faith went from yesterday's faith to tomorrow's faith. She said, "I know he shall live again, Lord, in the last days, in the days of the resurrection." But faith is always now. And Jesus was trying to activate Martha's faith. He was saying, "Martha, I am, and I am here now, right now. And I can take care of your need right now." Hallelujah. Jesus said, "If you can believe, you shall see the glory of God." And Jesus, the man of action, he steps up to that tomb, and then he said, "Take the stone away." I love to preach this. See, you've got to enter into your miracle. You've got to do what you can do based on the word of God, and you must expect God to do what only God can do. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Take the stone away." And they rolled that massive stone away. They had to push. They had to shove. They had to extend energy. It took strength. It took energy. It took determination. They had to put their backs to that massive stone. And then they had to exert that energy and roll with all of their might to get that stone moved. Jesus could have spoken to that thing and blown it into a billion pieces. But he wants you to enter into your miracle. He wants you to trust him, to believe in him, to do what you can do, and then expect God to do what only God can do. Hallelujah. So then after man had done what he could do, Jesus steps up to the tomb, and he did what only God could do. Look at John 11:43. "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" He cried with a loud voice, three words, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, that was a rhema to Lazarus. There were a lot of people named Lazarus in that day. It was a very common name. People say, well, if he hadn't said Lazarus, all the graves would open. No, this was a specific word that this one man named Lazarus, his sister's name was Mary and Martha. And this Lazarus had died, and Jesus said, "This is for the glory of God." And when he said, "Lazarus," the Holy Ghost took that word Lazarus. He went right into that tomb where that man was laying in the throes of death. He said, "You're the one. You're the one that he's talking to." You got to get a word from God. You got to hear the voice of God. Lazarus heard the voice of God. And when he heard it, the Holy Ghost quickened that word to him. And he came out of that tomb bound by the grave cloth. So many people come in our churches and they get saved and they're bound. You need to come back. You need to come back to God. You need to come back to the altar. You need deliverance. You don't need to carry that weight of sin around. Praise God, there's a healing, sanctifying power. You can call it a second work of grace. You can call it commitment. You can call it whatever you want to. But it is the work and act of God's amazing grace to break every chain. I tell you what, when I got saved, glory to God, I got sanctified. Woo! Every chain fell off of me. Glory to God. And that's what God has purposed for His church. God does not want you dragging things around. Glory to God. He doesn't want my body sick. He doesn't want your body sick. He doesn't want us infirm. He doesn't want us dragging the pain, the past around. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, loose him and let him go. I believe when I got saved that Jesus spoke to the devil, said, that boy's calling on my name. I've heard him praying all night long. I said, loose him, devil. Let him go. Praise God. And the power of God hit me. I came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And I've been going and going and going and going ever since with resurrection power. Did that happen to you? Then go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, you can get a miracle with just 2-3 words from God. But not only that, you can get a miracle with only 2 words from God. While Jesus was on this earth, he met death, the grim reaper, on 3 occasions, and he defeated it every time. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Then he met the widow of Nain, and her only son was dead. So coming down the road in one direction was a funeral procession. And I can see that procession coming. People are crying, they're moaning, their hearts are broken, they're groaning. This woman, this widow, she'd already lost her husband, and now her only son has died. And so the funeral procession is coming down the road in one direction, and coming down the road in the other direction is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can you envision it? And the people are shouting. They're rejoicing. And I can see the multitude that's gathered around Jesus. The blind have received their sight. The deaf, they can hear. The lame, they're walking. People are shouting. They're dancing. They're rejoicing. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And this procession is coming down the road. And the other procession is coming down the road. Miracles are happening. And all of a sudden, these two processions, they meet. Woo! Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The widow of Nain, she's weeping as she follows her only son to the grave. But Jesus reached over and touched his coffin. And resurrection power flowed into that dead body. And Jesus raised that young man from the dead. When Jesus touches your coffin, when Jesus touches your life, when Jesus touches your marriage or your finances or anything that's dead, when he reaches over and touches those dreams that you've had that have never been fulfilled, when Jesus touches that, resurrection power flows. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. I mean, he reached out and touched that coffin, and all of a sudden that young man sat up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a miracle. Jesus passed by. Can you see that? You see the broken people in the world we live in? They're dying. They're crying. They're sighing. They're moaning. They're groaning. They need a Savior. They need Jesus. They need a healer. They need a miracle worker. Friday night, before I even got to the prayer meeting, I had 3 calls that people needed prayer. 2 of them showed up at my house. 2 of those need. 2 of them were by phone call and another person that sought me out. 3, 4, 5 people that needed prayer. A man that's well off. It would shock you. Money, big houses, plenty of everything. Bound by the chains of alcohol. He needs our Jesus. Another one, bound by drugs. They need Jesus. Another one, whose body is racked with pain. And I try to tell them, and I've tried to tell them for years about the healer. Yet they got this religious front that they cannot get beyond. It holds them in chains. Religion is a killer. I hate religion. I love Jesus, though. Religion will kill you. The Pharisees, they are in all the churches, amen. And they sit back with their pious look. But what people need is the love of God. They need the miracle working power of God. They need the resurrection power of God. They don't need some fancy preacher. They don't need some hot shot in the pulpit. They need somebody that loves people, that has the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody that's been changed by God. Somebody who God touched and brought out of darkness and broke every chain and broke every shackle and sent them forth to preach His word. We need preachers like that in our pulpit. We need preachers, men and women in our churches to go out and set the captive free. They're there. And they're waiting. They're waiting for you. I was on my way to church. And I looked over. And there was a young boy sitting in the car. And I remember when he was a little boy, his mother called me. I was a lay preacher at the time. She said, "Brother Nelson," said, "when I go into my nursery there," said, "there's a spirit in there trying to kill my little baby." Well, I got me a prayer team together. She said, "Will you come over to my house and pray? Will you come and help us?" I got me a prayer team together. And I asked him to stay in the living room and pray while I went back to that nursery. Because I had prepared myself to pray that prayer. And when I went in there, the house stood up on my arms, and I felt the presence of that evil spirit trying to kill that little baby. I said, "I know exactly what you're talking about." And I commanded that thing to leave and applied the blood of Jesus over it. And I'm praying, and I looked at her. This is a good Baptist lady. I mean, she's Baptist to the bone. But she wanted me to come pray. And I saw the Holy Ghost come over. And I reached out. I said, "Receive the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues in Jesus' name." And the power of God hit her. She was instantly filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Her husband was filled with the Holy Ghost later on. And he goes to work. He worked for the state up there. And Raleigh had a good position. And he's there. And they had cubicles up there that separated the offices. And he's praying in tongues and has no idea what he's saying. And a man, an Arab on the other side, come back around the corner. I said, "I didn't know you knew my language." Glory to God. He was praying in tongues and he thought he knew his language. He was speaking to that young man there. God can speak to you any way He chooses. God wants to speak to you, but most of the time He speaks through the preached word of God. And if you can get a hold of it, you can get a miracle. On another occasion in this story, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, he comes to Jesus. He falls at His feet and he said, "Lord, please come to my house. My 12-year-old daughter is dying." And then someone calls and said, "Don't trouble the master. There's no hope. Your daughter is already dead." But Jesus turned to Jairus and said, "Fear not, only believe. Your daughter shall be made whole." Fear is a miracle killer. Faith never denies the facts. Faith always demands a change. God gave me that one. You won't get that out of a book. Amen. But you can get a miracle with just two words from God. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice what happened when they arrived at Jairus' house. The Bible says that the people were all weeping. And Jesus took James and John and Peter and the father and the mother, and he went into that house. And the Bible says that the people all wept, but Jesus said, "Weep not. She's not dead. She's just asleep." And the Bible says the people laughed at him and scorned him when he said that she was not dead. They knew that she was dead. See, miracles don't happen in the atmosphere of doubt and unbelief. Miracles happen in the atmosphere of faith. Hallelujah. And you can get a miracle with just two words from God. Look at Luke 8:58. Jesus put them all out and took her by the hand. Put Luke, brother, Luke 8:54 up there. Luke 8:54. Jesus took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Do you see that? Two words. made arise. The Bible says her spirit returned to her. She rose up, sat right up. Hallelujah. Resurrection power had hit her. And then Jesus said, give her something to eat. Now, you can get a miracle with just two words from God. Jesus raised her from the dead. He said, made her rise. And then he said, give her something to eat. Jesus went from the supernatural to the natural. Most people want God to do everything. But you've got to enter into your miracle. He was laying a principle about that here. He went from the supernatural to the natural. See, miracles are the operation of God, and they are the cooperation of man. Let me say that again. They are the operation of God and the cooperation of man. And when God performs a supernatural miracle in your life, he expects you to do something to help yourself. If you've been saved, God expects you to start laying those cigarettes down. Let me get down where people live. If you're on drugs and the doctor's prescribed, start working your way off of them. Amen. Unless it's something like blood pressure. But it's painkillers and stuff like that. God never designed you to live like that. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, I busted my leg up. I went 6 months to physical therapy. And they put me on crutches. And I used those crutches for a while. Then I got down to a cane, but that cane was not to be mine for the rest of my life. Woo! Glory to God. You got to do something. You got to exercise your faith. You got to exercise this natural body. Amen. You got to do something yourself to enter into that miracle. And after you've done everything you can do, then you say, God, I've done everything I know to do. Now, God, my Father, I thank you for doing what only you can do. That's how you get miracles from God. Jesus went from the supernatural to the natural. And God expects you to help yourself. Then there are some things that God can only do for you, but there are some things that God expects you to do for yourself. And you can get a miracle with just two words from God. Matter of fact, you can get a miracle with just one word from God. Hallelujah. Jesus, the man of prayer, he left his disciples and he went up into the mountains alone to pray. That was his pattern. He would go and talk to his Father. And he would get alone and he would pray. Don't expect the preacher to do all your praying. Don't expect the preacher to use his faith to get all of your miracles. Use your own faith. Do your own praying. I like the way Sister Julia said that. She's just talking faith. Get out of my body, praise God. You don't belong to me. And then she had prepared her spirit person, and all of a sudden, boom, the power of God hit her. That's how miracles happen. Amen. There's a time, there's a place, there's a season. Some people, they sit in their dead churches, and God's doing miracles. I meet them all the time. I tell them about the miracles of God, and they say, yeah. Like, I don't believe that. Well, we got a house full. We're going on TV pretty soon. I'm going to get that thing arranged. We're going to go tell them. We're going to just sit down in the chairs and let people tell about the miracles that they've gotten from the hand of God. Amen. But Jesus, the man of prayer, he leaves his disciples. He went up into the mountains alone to pray. And he was praying. And his disciples, they were in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. And a great storm arose. And the winds were contrary. And that little boat was being tossed to and fro out there on those stormy waves like a little toothpick. And Jesus saw them. He saw them and he went to them walking on the water. Hallelujah. He'll come to you. He'll defy the rules of nature if he has to get to you. And he went to them walking on the water. It was 3 a.m. in the morning, the fourth watch of the night. The darkest hour, they say, as a song, is just before dawn. That's just something eerie about that time. And the Lord has come to me with most of my revelation at 3 a.m. Come walking to me. And he comes to me and wakes me and talks to me. But in Vietnam, that was an eerie time because the darkest hour was just before dawn. And I knew that those mortars, most likely they're going to start raining those things in on us pretty soon. The darkest hour is just before dawn. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. God's anger is but a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. And if you reach out to him, hallelujah, you can get your miracle. And when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, the Bible says they were afraid. And they called out and said, "It's a spirit." Jesus spoke and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, then command me or bid me to come upon the waters." See, you can get a miracle with just one word from God. Look at Matthew 14:29. And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter, when he was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. No wonder the disciples marveled on another occasion and said, "What manner of this man is this? For no man ever spake as this man speak." Peter stepped out on the word, "Come." And he walked on the water. Jesus said, "Come." You can get a miracle with just one word from God. But I believe that, you know, after he got into his situation and things were contrary there, and all of a sudden he's got these problems and he doesn't know what to do. And Peter, he puts one foot over on the sea. He put another foot on the O. He put a foot on the M. He put a foot on the E. And all of a sudden, he's walking on the word of God. He walked on the word and he had his eyes on Jesus. But here's what I want you to see. Look at Matthew 14:30. Matthew 14:30. But when Peter saw that the winds were boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the winds ceased. You can get a miracle with just one word from God. Have you ever wondered how Peter got back in that boat? Come up here, Brother Philip. Brother Philip's a pretty good-sized man. Peter was a big man. And, you know, everybody wants to criticize old Brother Peter because he took his eyes off the master. But he's the only one that had enough faith to get out of that boat. And Jesus looked at Peter. This is my version. He said, "Peter, I see you got some faith. Now I'm going to show you how to use your faith." And the Bible says, and together they walked back to the boat. I believe Jesus just showed him how to walk on the water. You got great faith. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. You can get a miracle with just one word from God. Hallelujah. I love that. Jesus said, "Peter, I've seen your faith." You want to know something? He sees your faith. He sees my faith. But what I really like about this is Peter and Jesus, with all the other disciples looking at them, because he dared to step out on one word and use his faith. Everybody had to watch Peter, old brother Peter, as he walked back to the boat, walking on the water, walking on the word of God. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. You can get a miracle with just one word from God. Miracles don't just happen. Miracles belong to God. And miracles belong to you. And miracles belong to me. And what I want to ask you tonight is this. Are you ready for your miracle? Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And as long as men live, as long as there are people on this planet, the Jesus of the Bible, he will do miracles. He will save. He will deliver from bondages. He will fill people with his Holy Ghost. He will provide for their need. He will give them the life, the more abundant life that he paid for at Calvary. Hallelujah. Peter got a miracle with just one word from God. Come. I like that word. Come seems to be one of the Lord's most favorite words. First of all, he invites us to come to him for salvation. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that heareth come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. See, if you're not saved, if you're watching by live stream, if you're under the sound of my voice, you can be saved. Amen. Because Jesus says, come. Come unto me. Amen. If you're not saved, the Lord is calling. Come. If you've drifted away from the Lord, he's calling. Come. I love that word. One of his most favorite words. You can get a miracle with just one word from God. And if you're watching by live stream, son or friend, you can get saved. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe you bore my sins on the cross. I believe you took them. I'm a sinner. I've lived a sinful life. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I mean business, God. Come into my heart, Jesus. I repent. I confess you as Lord. If you pray a prayer like that, you can be born again. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. But not only does the Lord invite us to come to him for salvation, secondly, he invites us to come for him, to him for comfort. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whenever I find myself pulling the heavy load, when I'm under the stress of things and I've got Satan and demonic power bombarding me from all sides, I know I'm out of sync with God. And I just step back and I say, Lord, your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. You gave me power over those devils. And I'm going to just step back. I'm yoked up to you, Lord, and I'm going to let you pull the heavy load. And I'm just going to walk along beside you and watch you do your miracle working power, Lord. See, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to come to him. Not only for salvation, he wants us to come to him for comfort. He wants us to come to him when the storms of life are crashing in. When we have financial need and we got children and we got family members and people that are coming against us and driving us wild. You're not wrestling flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers and rules of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Get your focus on God. Then realize that you have an adversary, the devil, that walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Get yoked up to Jesus. Let him pull the heavy load. Hallelujah. And you'll find yourself coming out. You'll find a pep in your step. You'll find a joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Goodness and mercy, they'll be on your trail. Goodness and mercy, they just follow me everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ought to be happy to be a Christian. You ought to be full of joy. You ought to be full of the glory of God. And don't let the devil take your joy. He didn't give it to you. He can't take it away unless you do. And if the devil can't take your joy, let me tell you something. He can't keep your goods either. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you keep your joy, I read, put John 15:11 up there, brother. This one verse right here changed my life forever. John 15:11. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Woo! That your joy might be full. People told me, when I first got saved, they said, you can't have all that. You can't have it. You just can't have it. You can't have that. I said, I got it. They said, but you can't have it. I said, I got it. Finally, I told one man, I said, you keep telling me that. I said, that's like telling a millionaire that he can't have $1 million when he's got millions in the bank. I'm telling you something. I've got Jesus' joy. I've got the joy of the Lord. Isaiah said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is thy strength. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. That word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Peter said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Paul said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's take a praise break. Come on, hallelujah. Let's praise our King. Glory to God. We got the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you can get a miracle with just one word from God. The last thing I want to talk to you about, that word joy, it'll take me a moment to do it. If Christ is yours, you never need fear, even the grim reaper himself. The grave has no sting. The grave has no victory. And he will be there at the end of the journey for you. And I love this one. He said, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Yes, you can get a miracle from God with just one word from God. He says, come. Let us come to the altar and let us worship him. Bring your needs. Bring your sorrows. Bring your pains. There's a miracle in the making.
Amen.
It's got your name on it. Hallelujah.
There is power, power, one working power in the blood.
Glory.
Of the Lamb. There is power.
Glory.
Power, one working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Woo!
I said there's power, power, one working power in the blood.
In the blood.
The
of the Lamb.
Precious blood of the Lamb. I said there's power.
Glory.
Power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power. Power, wonder-working power. The precious blood of the Lamb. I said there's power. Power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Glory.
Power, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious you be free from your burden of sin. There's power in the blood. I said there's power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Some room here. Come on. Come on. Ramo Shete. Ramo Shata. I said, death, run. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. That power in the blood. That power. Power in the word. Power. Power. Glory. Woo. Glory.
I said, there's power.
Yeah.
praise Him. Sing praise Him.
Sing praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Come on now,
praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down.
Serve Him.
Serve Him. In the morning, serve Him at the noontime, serve Him,
serve.